together. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. All right, now if you are able, join us together in Cantonese. 我们一起读。你们是世上的盐，盐若失了味，怎能叫它再咸呢？以后无用，不过丢在外边，被人践踏了。 And finally, in Mandarin, 我们一起念。你们是世上的盐，盐若失了味，怎能叫它再咸呢？以后无用。 What enters your mind when you hear the word church? A building, a location, an organization, a set of beliefs, traditions, or beautiful design. Jesus hopes that his church on earth will be a little bit like salt. He uses this imagery in this particular passage that we've been reading to drive home the basic point that he sends the church into the world to represent him. So Paul knows this very well. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not only reminding himself, but also reminding all other believers who were hearing him or reading his letters, that if you are a believer, you are a Christian. Not only are you a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. But also at the same time, you are a missionary for Christ. You are his representative and you are his ambassadors. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. If you know a little bit about Greek, or if you have, you know, a very good commentary, it will tell you that the you, Y-O-U, in Greek is emphatic. Jesus is putting a lot of weight on this three-letter word, you. You are the very salt of the earth. So what is Jesus implying? What is Jesus trying to tell us today? From chemistry, we know that salt is basically sodium chloride. And as sodium chloride, it cannot lose its saltiness. Again, what was Jesus trying to tell us? There are basically two kinds of salt in the days of Jesus. One kind was relatively pure. The other one was impure. The one that was relatively pure was the edible type. The other one, which was impure, is the unedible type. The relatively pure salt was made through the evaporation of clean seawater drawn from the Mediterranean Sea. But most of the time, during that time, in many parts of Palestine, salt was taken from the Dead Sea, which was filled with white minerals that looked very much like salt, but were not salt at all. Farmers would pile their impure salt behind their houses and use it to fertilize the field, because they know that a little bit of salt from time to time is good for the soils. But when the rains came and pounded on that pile of salt, the true salt, sodium chloride, would dissolve and wash away. And a useless, white, sandy substance was left. Farmers knew that they couldn't even throw it out on their fields because it would tend to harden their soil and make it difficult for vegetation to grow. So what could they do? They could only put it out in front of their house, where they wanted a solid path to walk on. Jesus was talking about pure salt, edible salt. And we know that edible salt in the ancient world was highly prized for a number of reasons. It was so highly prized, we know that the Romans sometimes paid soldiers with salt. Imagine paying your tuition fee or your grocery bill or paid out your mortgage with bags of salt. Wouldn't that be funny or nice? People in the ancient world, in the days of Jesus, also understood that salt was a symbol of purity, probably because of its glistening white colors. So as far back into antiquity as we can go, the earliest pagans idol worshippers would offer salt in their temples to the different deities. And interestingly enough, if you look up Leviticus chapter 12, there is a verse that says that, you know, God expects all offerings, sacrifices, to be accompanied by salt. And if there was no salt, the offering was not acceptable to God. So when Jesus says that you and I, the church, are the salt of the earth, was he saying that we are of value in the eyes of God because we can display pure motives before a decadent culture? That we are, because of our association with him, we are a people who are pure in hearts. Salt was also valued as a seasoning agent. When you and I say pass the salt, it is because we know that salt has a way of bringing out the flavor in food. Even long ago in chapter 6, Job says, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? You need a little bit of salt to make the food palatable, tasty. So is Jesus telling us, his disciples, that, you know, we are, because we are people who know God, we have the power through the Holy Spirit to bring a flavor to life, a zest to living. Salt also creates thirst. Even today, some Middle Eastern people would take salt from time to time to force them to drink waters and avoid dehydration before it happens. Salt forces them to drink before they sense the need. And if this is the case, is Jesus telling us that as Christians, as believers of God, when we have a way, or we must work to make other people thirst and hunger for God? But probably Jesus has another quality of salt in mind, his ability to preserve. In the days of Jesus, farmers and fishermen who heard Jesus speak those words would have thought of the way they use salt most often to preserve fish and other meats. After catching in the Lake of Galilee, the fishermen would sell them in the capital city of Jerusalem, many miles to the south. Transportation back then was slow and refrigeration non-existent. So what do they have to do? They would salt down the catch. And when a farmer kills a cow, he would salt the meat, the only way of preservation. In many parts of the Bible, God's people are seen as a force, as a community that preserves a decaying society filled with germs. The Bible is telling us that Christians, believers, the church, are worth their salt because they keep that decay from spreading as rapidly as it might. So we see that even back in the days of Jesus, salt has many, many different uses. But no matter how many great uses it possesses, salt loses its distinctiveness. It is worthless. It is useless. What is true of salt is also true of us today. It is true of the Church of the Lord Jesus and of those who are citizens of the kingdom of God. If we lose our unique Christian distinctiveness and become like the society surrounding us, we make no impact. We are of no use to God. This is where our theme for this year, 2018, comes in. Loving God, touching lives. And if you have your bulletin, I would ask you to turn to your bulletin. Loving God, touching lives. The board has been discussing the future of CCC and about moving the church forward. And as a result of those discussions, we have come up with this theme for this year, Loving God, Touching Lives. There's a little bit of explanation about loving God, touching lives in the bulletins, and we hope that, you know, you would take your bulletin home, read it, meditate on it, and pray for CCC along this line. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 is a very good passage for us because here it reminds us that for CCC to retain its saltiness, She must stay connected to God, loving God. And her congregation must radiate spiritual impacts, lives impacting lives, influencing lives. We know that God has put his church, including CCC, on earth to love one another. And so there is a great commandment. And so this morning we started in our first half of the call to worship with this passage, the great commandment. We also know at the same time that besides the great commandment, God also has a great charge for the church. In Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And that was the second half of our call to worship passage this morning. The great commandment about loving God and the great commission about Christian lives impacting other lives for the Lord. And how do we accomplish the loving God part? There are a number of things that we will attempt this year. For instance, at the beginning of the service, and even while, you know, looking at the slides rotation, you probably remember a slide called Scripture Memorization. I'm not sure whether you know it or not, but the children's worship is a great example for us to follow. For quite a few months, they have been memorizing scriptures, one passage a week. For quite a few months, they've been doing that. And now they are going to join us and everyone else in the church to memorize scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a very good exercise for when we treasure the word of God in our hearts. You find that, you know, you would experience, you would sense a power in the word of God that you would not sense or you have not felt before. If you look at Psalms, for instance, Psalms 119, when you hear the psalmist reciting the word of God, when you hear the psalmist talk about his understanding and his experience of scriptures, you know that the psalmist was not just memorizing it. He was not just reciting it, but he was talking about the word of God with a kind of energy, a kind of passion, a kind of devotion, and a kind of hope that we need in our lives today. So we would start with memorizing 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some of the verses are short, and we will probably devote 1 week to it. For longer verses, we might use 2, 3, or even 4 Sundays to memorize it. And from time to time, as we memorize the scripture as a whole church, we hope that we will be able to organize friendly competitions. And I'm sure that the children's, you know, children's worship department is very eager to challenge the adults when it comes to memorization. We hope that by memorizing 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it is a passage about loving God. It is also a passage about loving God, and as a result, how we ought to relate to one another, whether believers or non-believers. So it is a very good passage to start. Even though we memorize the word of God, but we pray that in the process, God would reveal and unveil the power that is in his word in the hearts of those who treat his words with reverence, with hunger. Back to Jesus' teaching on the church and Christians as salt. We also know that for salt to be effective, for salt to do its job, it must come into contact with meats. Can you imagine the church as a salt warehouse? We have lots of good quality salt, but we are hogging it. We're keeping it inside the church. We are not sharing it at all. Can you imagine what it is like in the middle of a winter storm, many more times severe than the one going on right now outside? That snow is piling up, and there's tons and tons of salt in the salt warehouses. But however, all the snow trucks of DOT are out on the road, but they are not spreading any salt at all. Can you imagine something like that happening? In the same way, whenever you and I, the church, become a salt warehouse, we have missed Jesus' basic point, that salt must come into contact with meat, with its surroundings, for it to be effective, to be useful. So as we grow in understanding, knowing, and loving God, we pray that God would also enable us to grow in spiritual impacts for Him. And hence, these two parts of our themes this year, loving God, and also at the same time, as a result of that, touching lives. It is lives influencing others for the Lord. We pray that CCC would not become a salt warehouse. We pray that CCC would be generous and quick in sharing and using whatever gifts, whatever blessings she has received from God with those outside the church. Yes, loving God, touching lives. More than ever before, we want to reach up to God. We want to ask God to help us to be able to express our love when we come to worship Him, when we sit down by the Bible, when we meditate, when we talk to other people. We want God to remind us and enable us to be able to reach up to Him and feel Him and allow Him to touch us. But also at the same time, we pray that we be able to reach in to other people. There are going to be a number of activities and events planned throughout the year. Some of them are a little bit new. Some of them are things that we have done, but along the line of this year's theme, loving God and touching lives. For instance, the Chinese New Year. Next Sunday, is it next Sunday? Well, the Sunday of the Chinese New Year, okay. But next Sunday, we'll be busy making dumplings. So if you are able to come, join us. And we'll be having dumpling. I understand that 2,000 dumplings is our minimum goal, okay. I'm not quite sure, but it is a mammoth effort, you know. Check with Pastor Joanna and the people that she has organized working on this project. Pray for them, encourage them. Don't just appreciate the dumplings. Find a way to join in, to participate, you know. So whether we're celebrating Chinese New Year this month or on the very first Sunday, next Communion Sunday in March, maybe one of the things that you can do, impacting other people positively, spiritually, is to encourage someone who has never been to church, who has never set foot inside the house of God and say, we have a very special activity, you know. We would like you to come and be our guest. Invite them to come and experience what it is like to be surrounded by hundreds of believers, that is us here. Invite them to come to worship services on other occasions. Maybe what you can do is, you know, you remember that someone hasn't been to church for a long time, and that person needs a ride to come to CCC. And on those very special activity Sundays or Saturdays, provide a ride. Invite them to come in and join in the activities. So as we reach out to other people, let us also remember, as we reach into the body of Christ, let us also remember to reach out to people who are not part of the Church of the Lord Jesus. They may be believers, but do not be surprised that there are many believers, many Christians in this part of Washington, D.C. They are believers of Christ, but they do not have a church to belong to. Maybe they are new to Washington, D.C. Maybe they are way too busy. Or maybe they have been hurt. They have bad experiences in the churches they went to. And maybe God is going to use you to be a bridge, to bring them back into the Church of Christ. So whether it be reaching up, reaching into the body of Christ, or reaching out to other people, God says, continue to allow your lives to be shaped by the Lord and be used by Him to touch other people. Today, as we gather as a church to remember the table of the Lord, it is also a great time and a great opportunity for us to pray together as a church, asking God to bless our church so that we will become a body of Christ, that will grow in love with God, but also at the same time that will grow and multiply in spiritual impact, influence, and power for God throughout the year. Basically, we are asking God to plant us, to root us in Him. And at the same time, because we are rooted in God, we would be producing leaves and fruits that other people can enjoy. Do you know that we count in the eyes of God? CCC, your small groups, your family altars, worship places are important in the eyes of God because God expects us to make a difference for Him. It is interesting to know that Jesus didn't call us to be sugar. He called us to be salt. And we know that sometimes salt is a little bit caustic or drastic, especially when we apply it onto the wounds. But it has great healing and antiseptic impact. And sometimes being a believer, being a Christian, may not be the most popular or convenient things to do. But Jesus says, especially during moments like that, pray for strength from above to be salt for Christ. Pray for wisdom from on high to be light, knowing how to shine. So we ask God to make our activities effective. We ask God to hear and answer our prayers. And we ask God to right now unite our hearts, unite our thoughts, and pray for ourselves, pray for the body that is CCC, and pray that this year, more so than ever, we would glorify God, for we would see the love of God among His people increasing. We would also see the fruits and the effectiveness of CCC more so than in past years. So I ask you to join with me in a time of prayer, prayers of the people. And this time, we're going to pray along the line of Colossians chapter 1. When you go home, take out your Bible and read the first 4 or 5 verses of Colossians chapter 1. But today, we're going to focus on only verses 3 and 4. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, you find that Paul started his salutation. This is Paul, God's servant. And then very quickly, Paul jumps down to verse 3, saying that he was praying for the believers in Colossae. And in verse 4, you find that Paul was praying very much along our theme this year. Paul was telling them that, when we pray for you, this is what we have in mind. We have heard your faith in Christ Jesus. We have heard about your faith, your commitment to the Lord Jesus. And that's very much like a reflection of loving God. We have heard from other people how much you love God and that you continue to grow in that love. And Paul also says that we have also heard of the love you have for all peoples. You see, the people in the church in Colossae did not keep their loves, their blessings to themselves. They share it with guests, with strangers. They share with believers. They share with non-believers as well. They did not see themselves as warehouses for salt. Rather, whatever they have, they share it willingly and generously with other people. And that is what, you know, that is very much like Paul telling them that not only do we see the love of God in you, but also see your love, your spiritual influence in your midst, overflowing into the lives of other people. So before we prepare our hearts for communion, I ask that you would take hold of this passage. You would pray that this passage would be true for you, for your family and loved ones. This passage would be true in your cell group and also in the activities, in the goals, and in the fellowship of CCC this year. I don't know what God is going to put in your mind. As you look at this verse, maybe God is asking you to pray specifically for certain individuals. Maybe God is asking you to pray specifically for a few events and activities coming up. Maybe God is asking you to pray for a group of people, for instance, those shut-ins and those who are not able to come to the church regularly for worship, for ministry because of illnesses or because of distance. God wants you in Christ to ask for a special strengthening and blessing for them. Or maybe God would just have you pray generally for the three congregation, for the congregation you belong to, you know, for CCC itself. But whatever it is, we're going to take a little bit longer to pause and pray. Do not be afraid of silence, for this is the best time that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. In silence, God speaks to us. God reminds us of things. And in silence, we listen and we surrender to God. In silence, we speak with God and say, God, listen to us, for your people, your servants are speaking. So come, join with me right now in a moment of silence and let us pray. Let us pray along this line, and whatever needs or blessing that the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart, on your mind, make that your prayer. Make that your thanksgiving. Make that your supplication. So people of God, God is waiting. Let us come in silence, in reverence before God all together, asking God to glorify himself in our lives and in his church. Father God, in the next few moments, we ask that you would speak to us. Remind us, O Father, of your tender mercies, and help us, O Lord, to know that it is so much, so much in your heart to see your people thrive in loving you.